She glances at me. Plus the ones you brought. I saw his memories. It's not enough. Dane shakes his head. Well, it has to be, Mira counters. Gather everyone. They're faster than dragons, Dane says to my mother. We have 10 hours, maybe less. Then, we're all dead. A half hour later, nearly every seat in battle brief is full, and the lines are clearly drawn between those of us who chose to fight for poor O'Meal and those who chose to stay to defend Navarre. The Eurasian cadets hold the right side of the terraced classroom, and for the first time, I don't pull out pen and paper to take notes when my mother and Devera take the stage with Dane. The nervous energy in the room reminds me of those moments on top of the turret in Athbeen, where we decided to fight in Resen. Except there's no choice to make today. We're here. This battle began in the Wardstone Chamber, and we've already lost. We just happen to still be breathing. Grime relayed to Tarn that Melgrin and his forces won't arrive until after the approaching Horde does. And word came in about an hour ago that there are other Wyvern flying in a second wave. As if the first won't be enough to destroy us. Glancing over my shoulder, toward the top seats, I see Zayden standing next to Bodhi with his arms folded across his chest, listening to whatever Garrick tells him. A painful ache erupts in my heart. How can we only have hours left? As if he senses the weight of my gaze, he looks at me, then winks, like we're not facing certain annihilation. Like we've transported ourselves back to last year, and this is just another battle brief. How are the hands? Sawyer asks Riddick, as leadership confers about something on stage. Nolan mended them right after he took care of General Sorengil. Riddick flexes his fingers, showing off unblemished skin. Dane? He asks me. Nothing he can do for him, I shake my head. Not sure if it's because it's an unmendable wound or because Nolan's too exhausted from trying to mend Jack over and over. Fucking Jack, Ree mutters. Fucking Jack, I agree. Devera starts the briefing. Intel reports 1,000 Wyvern headed this way. The good news? They didn't even bother stopping at Samara, which means casualties are low. The bad news? They don't seem to be stopping anywhere, which means we won't get a delay. Dane steps forward and clears his throat. How many of you have mastered a tracking rune? Not a single hand rises among the Eurasian cadets, including Ree's and mine. The Basgaiath cadets look like Dane is speaking Krovlish up there. Right. Dane shoves his hand into his hair, and his face falls before he masks it. That complicates things. Dark wielders know exactly where we are because, according to Barlow's memories, he planted lures all over the college and up the path to the Vale. Guess Dane's done keeping his signet classified. My lips part. That's the energy Krod picked up on when we arrived, the same energy that summoned the Venon to Resen. Destroying the lures is our best chance of buying time, or at least throwing off further waves. I saw where Barlow put most of the lure boxes, but not all of them, Dane continues as footsteps sound in the doorway. Every head turns as infantry cadets pour in wearing uncertain, anxious faces. I spot Calvin, the leader of the platoon we were paired with for maneuvers, gawking at the space, his gaze landing and remaining on the map of Navarre. He's wearing the same insignia as the rest of us, leading me to believe they've only sent their quadrant's leadership. The infantry quadrant will spend the next few hours trying to hunt them down for us while also preparing themselves. Dane's voice drops off, and he swallows. Devera takes mercy on him, stepping forward. You'll be working within your squads tonight. Remember that Wyvern are the distraction and the weapon. You take down one of the Venon, and you kill the Wyvern they've created. No one takes on a Dark Wielder alone. That's how you get killed. Work together. Rely on each other. Complement each other's signets, just like it's the squad battle. Except it's real battle, Rhiannon says under her breath, where real cadets will really die. Remember that Venon will mimic your fighting style, so change it up if you have no choice but hand to hand. Devera continues, the lines of her mouth tense with worry and perhaps a little dread. The Basgaiath cadets murmur among themselves and shift in their seats.
I'll bet you all the daggers we've brought with us that they didn't teach them how to fight Venon.
Sawyer shakes his head, drumming his fingertips along the desk.
First years who haven't manifested. I expect you packed and ready to fly should we fall. Healers are stalking the infirmary and are preparing. Scribes are in the process of evacuating with our most important texts.
Devera glances at my mother. Of course they are. I can only wonder which texts they'll consider valuable enough to save, and which they'll conveniently leave behind to burn. Mom looks up to my right where Mira stands with a few of her friends, then drops her gaze to me.
The assignments given tonight have been decided with the best interest of Basgaiath and the Vale in mind. There are incredibly powerful signets among you. Gifted riders.
She looks in the first row where Emeterio sits.
And even combat masters. But I will not lie to you.
That's a first, I mumble, and Rhiannon scoffs softly under her breath.
We are outnumbered, Mom continues. We are underpowered. However, the odds may be against us, but the gods are with us. Whether you left after threshing or stayed, we are all Navarian riders, bonded for the purpose of defending dragonkind in the darkest hour. And this is it.
The darkest hour on the longest night of the year. My stomach churns as I fight off the spiraling weight of hopelessness. I want you to leave for Aracia, I tell Andarna. Get out before they arrive. Hide where you can and make your way back to Brennan.
I will be where I am needed, and it is with you, she counters.
Every argument I could make to keep her alive doesn't matter, and we both know it. Humans do not give dragons orders. If she's determined to die with Tarn and me, there's nothing I can do about it. I press my lips between my teeth and bite down to ward off the sting that comes to my eyes. My fingernails bite into my palms as Mom assigns the active riders to cadet squads, splitting the experience among the group. Garrick is assigned to 1st Squad Flame Section and Heaton to 1st Squad Claw Section, while Emery is assigned to a squad in 1st Wing.
Captain Sorengale, Mom looks up at Mira. You'll be with 2nd Squad Flame Section 4th Wing.
Our entire squad looks over at Mira, and my eyes widen at the fear that flares in her eyes.
Anger simmers along my bond with Zayden. Fuck that.
With all due respect, General Sorengale, Mira replies, rolling her shoulders back. If we're to truly use our signets to their best advantage, then I should be paired with you as a last line of defense, since I can now shield without the wards.
Mom's eyebrows rise in surprise, and my gaze jumps between them like I'm watching a sporting match. Mira swallows, then locks eyes with me.
And Lieutenant Ryerson should be placed into 2nd Squad, as his signet has previously proven in battle to complement Cadet Sorengale's.
She looks at me like we're sitting across the dining room table from each other, and not in the midst of a pre-battle briefing.
As much as I would love to be her shield, he gives us the highest probability of keeping our most effective weapon alive.
A tense second passes as I look to our mother.
So be it.
Mom nods, then finishes the unit changes. The heat along the bond recedes, and my posture sags in relief. At least we'll be together.
We get both of you? Riddick offers a smile. Maybe we have a shot of lasting an hour.
My money's on two, Sawyer chimes in with a nod. Both of you shut up before I knock your heads together,
Imogen warns from a seat behind us.
Anything less than 4 hours is unacceptable.
How long did Resson last? One? And there were 10 riders and 7 flyers against 4 Venon.
Now that that's settled, Mom says as Kaori steps onto the floor, throwing up an illusion in the form of a top-down map of Basgaiath and the surrounding area.
We're dividing Basgaiath, the Vale, and surrounding areas into a grid of sectors.
Kaori flicks his fingers and grid lines appear on the map.
Each squad will be responsible for a sector of airspace, while infantry covers the ground.
Mom continues, nodding to Kaori. Squad insignia appear on different grids, and it takes me a second to locate ours on the side of the veil, paired with a squad from First Wing. No patches are inside the space, but there are plenty of unbonded dragons, no doubt ready to defend their hatching grounds.
Memorize these grids, because you're not going to have time to pull out a map when you're up there. If it's in your airspace, you kill it. If it crosses into another squad's airspace, you let them kill it. Avoid leaving your airspace at all costs, or it will turn into a disorganized melee. And that leaves us with inevitable weak grids. We'll reassign you as necessary as casualties are reported.
Not if they're reported. The grid behind the main campus, where the ward chamber is located, is horrifyingly bare, as though they've already surrendered the space. This is wrong, I whisper. We should be defending the ward stone.
The broken one?
Sawyer questions quietly.
Say it,
Rhiannon urges.
You have a better chance of living through it,
Riddick mutters, shifting in his seat. I clear my throat.
It's a mistake to abandon the ward stone.
My mother levels a disapproving look on me, and the temperature drops a few degrees.
Why is it that only my daughters speak out of turn? We get it from our mother,
Mira snipes in a dry tone, and that lethal look pivots to her.
It's a mistake, I push on. We don't know what power remains in the stone, and it was placed in that exact location because it's over the strongest natural flow of power, according to Warwick.
Hmm. It's not my mother looking my way this time. It's General Sorengale.
Your opinion is noted.
Hope surges in my chest.
So you'll assign a squad? Absolutely not. Your opinion, as noted as it is wrong.
She dismisses me without another word, without the reasoning we would have been given had this been a battle brief, leaving me half my original size shrinking in my chair. A wave of warmth floods the bond, but it doesn't dim the chill from her rejection.
You have your orders for the morning, Mom says. Riders, find the nearest bed and sleep for as many hours as you can. Most of you who left Bazgaiath will find your rooms have not been commandeered, and most still contain your bedding. We need you rested to be effective.
She looks over the briefing room like it might be the last time she sees us.
Every minute we hold out gives us a shot at reinforcements making it back. Every second counts. Make no mistake, we will hold out as long as possible.
I glance up at the clock. It's not even 8 yet, which means I can keep my mantra for the next few hours. I will not die today. I can't say the same about tomorrow. The stars still wink in the night sky as Zayden and I dress in the relative silence of my room. Turns out the remaining cadets had left all but the wing leader's quarters untouched, as if we'd see the error of our ways and return. What few hours of sleep we'd gotten had been sporadic at best, leaving me at less than full strength and a little dizzy, but at least I wasn't plagued with nightmares. Or maybe my imagination really is that overactive. Zayden kisses a path down my spine, his lips brushing every inch of skin as he laces me into my armor over the crossbody wrap on my left shoulder that stabilizes the aching joint. My eyes slide shut when he reaches my lower back, and the desire he'd more than sated last night flares anew, flushing my skin. A few simple kisses are all it ever takes, and my body is instantly attuned to his. Keep doing that, and you'll be taking this right off, I warn him, glancing down over my shoulder. Was that a threat or a promise? His eyes darken as he stands and ties me in, tucking the laces so they don't come loose. Because I have no problem spending our last quiet minutes this morning tangled up in you. He slides his hand over the curve of my hip as he moves to face me, trailing his fingers along the waistband of my flight leathers, then dipping them between the buttons and my stomach. We can't do this. Can't hide away and pretend war isn't coming for us. Can't ignore that more than a dozen lures haven't been destroyed or even found. when just one was enough to lead the Venon to Resen. And we've only found half of what Jack left around campus. Can't deny that the last reports from the few riders brave enough to stay at the Midland forts along the route from Samara relayed that attack is imminent in the next couple of hours. But gods, do I want to. We can't. Regret saturates the words, and yet I can't stop myself from winding my arms around his neck. No matter how much I would rather lock the door and let the rest of the world burn around us.
We can.
He lifts a hand to the back of my neck and tugs me closer until our bodies meet from thigh to breast.
Say the word, and we'll fly.
I stare up into his eyes, marking each fleck of gold just in case I won't get another chance to. You could never live with yourself if we abandoned our friends.
Maybe.
His brow knits for less than a second, so quick I almost miss it as he leans into my space.
But I know I can't live without you. So trust me when I say there's a very real, very loud part of me screaming to carry you out of here and fly for Aracia.
I know the feeling all too well, so before I dare to give it voice, I rise up on my toes and kiss him. At the first touch of our mouths, heat ignites between us, and he grabs a hold of my ass, lifting me. I sense that we're moving, turning as I part my lips for his tongue and throw all logical thought out the door. My ass hits the desk, and I hold tighter, kiss him harder as he slants his mouth over mine again and again, taking everything I offer and giving it right back. This isn't the slow exploration we'd shared last night, lingering on every touch, knowing it might be the last time. It's frantic and wild, hot and desperate. My hand spears into his hair, holding him closer, like I still have Endarna's ability to stop time, like I can hold us in this moment if I just keep kissing him. He groans into my mouth, and his fingers work the buttons on my pants at the same moment I reach for his.
We'll be quick, I promise between soul-consuming kisses, flicking open the first button. Quick, he repeats, sliding a hand down my stomach and into my pants. Isn't usually what you beg me for.
His fingers brush. Someone knocks. We both freeze, panting hard against each other's mouths.
No, no, no. Don't stop. If this minute is all we have left, then I want it. Gods, if he would just move his hand a fraction of an inch lower.
His eyes search mine. And then he takes my mouth like the outcome of this kiss will decide the battle we're facing.
I know you're in there, Rhiannon barks through the door, and the knock changes to a pound. Stop ignoring me before this becomes the most awkward situation known to Navarre.
5 minutes, I beg as Zayden's mouth slides down my neck.
Now,
a deep, familiar voice demands, and Zayden puts a step between us, muttering a curse under his breath.
There's no way, is there?
But just in case there is, my hands fall from Zayden's pants and quickly redo the button on mine before I hop off the desk and rush to the door, sparing a second to check that Zayden's clothes are in place too.
Disengage your body parts or whatever you're doing.
I unlock my door with a flick of my hand and yank it open to find not only every second and third year flyer in our squad, but a few of our first years, including Sloane. And Brennan. Without thought for regulation or decorum, I fling myself into his arms and he catches me, pulling me tight against his chest.
You came.
I left you and Mira here to fight this on your own once before, and I'll never do it again. I knew I'd fucked up as soon as you left, but griffins don't fly as quickly as dragons. He squeezes harder for a second, then lets me down. Tell me where I can be of use.
Are those? Flyers?
Every head turns down the hall as my mother approaches, with two of her aides, but her steps falter when her gaze shifts toward my brother.
Brennan?
I'm not here for you. He dismisses her without another word in her direction. Mateus is going to send the flyers to hunt the lures. They are faster on the ground and better with runes anyway.
We are. Kat agrees with a casual shrug, assessing the hallway like she's searching for structural weaknesses, which she probably is.
and we don't abandon our drifts. We'll fight.
I might not like her, but damn do I respect her. Finding those lures will give us precious time to. I grab onto Brennan's arms, and a spark of hope lights within my chest. Have you ever encountered something you can't mend?
Magic, he answers. I can't mend a relic or anything. Probably not a rune either.
If he can do it, we'll just have to hold on long enough for Coda to arrive.
What about a wardstone?
Brennan's eyebrows shoot up, and I glance past him to Rhiannon.
We have to guard the chamber. At least let him try.
Rhi nods, then turns to my mother, who's still staring at Brennan like he's a hallucination.
General Sorengale, 2nd Squad Flames Section 4th Wing, officially requests permission to guard the airspace above the Wardstone Chamber.
Mom doesn't take her eyes off Brennan.
Granted.
An excerpt from Major Edvard Tiller's Unaccredited Study of the Venon, Property of the Library of Cordon. Though there is some debate, it is greatly believed that turning venon heightens one of the Dark Wielder's senses. It is this scholar's belief that the one responsible for the death of King Grethwild developed keener eyesight, for not even the best of His Majesty's royal flyers could see through the darkness the venon hid within to slay our beloved king.
Chapter 61. Dawn is still an hour away as the riders in our squad stand on the ridgeline above the main campus of Bisgaeth, our dragons lined up behind us. The horizon holds a vague outline, the promise of light, but it winks in and out of my vision as the skyline shifts, the wavering shape on constant approach growing larger with every minute. Hundreds of feet below, in front of the gates of Bezgaeth, my mother waits upon Imser, with her personal squad, including Mira and Tiny, slightly behind her. She's in front of us all, her three children, and the place she's sacrificed us, and her very soul for.
They're coming,
Tarn tells me, his posture stiff while the others shift their weight or dig their talons into the snow-covered, decomposed granite of the mountainside. Squads from 3rd and 4th wings stand in formation up and down the mountains around us, but both 1st and 2nd wings, half our forces, now that we're back with the Bezgaeth cadets, have been sent to the edge of the Vale, while our squad guards the airspace above the 100 yards between the back of main campus and the steep ridgeline we stand on, including the very well-hidden entrance to the ward chamber hundreds of feet below, where Brennan is working. Sloan, Arik, and the other first years are with him under the guise of fetching whatever he needs, but reordered them to Brennan's side mostly to keep them safe.
I know.
I glance over my shoulder at where Andarna nips at her harness between Tarn and Sigael. She showed up an hour ago and refused to leave.
Is this how it felt in Resen?
Rhiannon asks from my right, her hands nervously flitting over her sheaths and scabbard. How are you feeling? I ask.
So scared, I'm pretty sure either my heart's gonna give out or I'm about to shit myself,
Riddick answers from her other side.
I was going to say horrifyingly scared, but sure, that works too,
Rhiannon nods. Yes, that's exactly how it felt. I do the customary checks again. Not that I'd have time to get back to my room if I left anything. Zayden retrieved the dagger I'd put in Jack's shoulder, which gives me a full 12, plus 2 alloy-hilted ones, and the handheld crossbow strapped at my right thigh. I'm fully armed. Thanks to the daggers we brought with us and the forge here at Bezgaeth, every cadet is armed.
Does it ever get easier? Going into battle?
Sawyer asks beside Riddick, peering down at the college. Infantry has been deployed into every courtyard, every hallway, and every entrance, the last line of a very fragile defense.
No, Zayden answers from my left. You just get better at hiding it.
everyone clear on the plan?
Riders answer to Ree, flyers answer to Bragan,
Quinn recites to our squad from down the line to the left.
When they arrive.
The flyers are still hunting down the boxes. Without the lures, maybe the wyvern would have waited until daylight. Maybe it would have taken them longer to get a feel for where the hatching grounds are. Maybe destroying the lures will deter the next horde that inevitably follows. But 1,000 maybes won't change what we're facing now.
We stay in our sector,
Imogen says from Quinn's side, braiding the longer pink strands of her hair to keep it out of her eyes.
Should a wyvern leave our airspace, we let it become another squad's responsibility, so that we don't accidentally leave our sector unguarded. We maintain our airspace at all costs.
Rhiannon is on dagger duty, Riddick says, rubbing his hands together even though it's uncharacteristically warm this morning. I can't even see my breath. She'll fetch and distribute should any Venon fall from their wyvern and take our dagger with them.
Any reason you can't just drag them all down with all that shadow power?
Sawyer glances Zayden's way like there's any possible chance he hasn't already considered that, the look mirrored by Ree and Riddick.
Other than the reason that I almost burned out holding 40 of them back in a narrow space like a valley, and there are what looks to be 10 times that amount on an open plain, Zayden counters, arching his scarred brow.
Right. That, Sawyer nods to himself.
Getting caught up in the wyvern is a mistake,
I warn them as the downslope breeze becomes noticeable wind, but it too lacks the icy chill of December.
Yes, they'll try to kill us, but don't let them distract you from their creator. Kill the Venon who created them, and those wyvern will fall. In our experience, they stick close to their creations during a battle. You know your pairs? Ree asks, glancing down the line.
Everyone nods. Our goal is always 2 against 1 in our favor.
Mount up, Rhiannon orders.
I turn quickly and gather her into a hug, and she grabs for Sawyer and Riddick, yanking them in too.
Don't freeze, I tell them. No matter what happens, just keep moving and stay in the air. They can kill you if they drain the ground you're standing on. No one dies today.
No one dies today,
Riddick repeats and Sawyer nods as we break apart.
Did you see Jacinia?
Ree asks Sawyer. My eyebrows rise.
She's here?
Flew in with Marin, Sawyer says, his head bobbing. Guess griffins are a little more easygoing in that department than dragons. She's in the archives, comparing Warwick's journal to Lyra's to see if she can figure out why the wards in Erasia are faulty. Once you said you were scared the wards would fall here, she started worrying we wouldn't be able to get them back up without knowing what went wrong in Erasia.
Turns out she's right.
She shouldn't be at Basgaeth. I shake my head and my heart races to a gallop. She's completely defenseless down there.
She was worried she'd figure out the difference between the journals and be too far away to help. And if Brennan mends that stone, she's our only chance at raising the wards here successfully, Sawyer replies, backing away to follow Riddick to their dragons.
She has just as much a right to risk her life as we do,
Ree reminds me over her shoulder, heading toward Fierge.
Now warm up those wielding hands, or do whatever it is you need to do to set this place on fire.
I turn to Endarna while Zayden finishes talking to Quinn and Imogen.
Promise me you'll stay hidden.
I can hide.
She backs up a step and I blink. It's almost as if she's faded straight into the darkness.
Benefit of being a black dragon,
Taryn chuffs.
We're born for the night.
I follow Endarna and scratch the scales between her nostrils when she lowers her head.
Stay put. Marb is below you, keeping watch over Brennan. If the tide of the battle turns, he'll watch after you. But you have to go, promise me.
I will stand, I will keep watch, but I will not leave you this time.
She huffs a breath that scents lightly of sulfur, and my heart sinks. She's seen too much for someone her age. It was easier when you were a juvenile. I give her one last scratch. Every dragon in our squad knows to take care of her if Taryn and I fall. But only she can make the choice to let go.
I didn't listen then, either.
Good point.
It's almost time,
Taryn announces, and my heartbeat accelerates as I turn toward the rising sun, a strip of orange illuminating not only the horizon, but the massive cloud of wyvern that's nearly here. Another gust of warm wind blows, and the stars wink out above us as dark clouds billow from over the mountains, charging the air with an energy that calls to my own. Zayden meets me between Taryn and Sigail, a scenario that reminds me entirely too much of Resson. He reaches for me, his warm hand cupping the back of my neck.
I love you. The world does not exist for me beyond you.
Leaning down, he rests his forehead against mine.
I couldn't tell you that the last time we flew into a fight, and I should have.
I love you too. I grasp his waist and force a smile. Do me a favor and don't die. I don't want to live without you. There are so many of them and so few of us.
We don't die today.
If only we all felt that kind of certainty, I try to joke.
You keep your focus on the enemy and your life.
He kisses me hard and quick.
Even Malik himself couldn't keep me from you.
I pull back at the first splatter on my head.
Rain? Zayden looks up. In December?
Warmth. Rain. The charge in the air. It's my mother. A slow smile spreads across my face. It's her way of imbuing her favorite weapon.
Me. Remind me to thank her afterward.
He pulls me into another quick kiss, then turns away without another word, mounting Sigail at a run. I glance up at the sky and breathe deeply to carry the pressure my mother has just put on me. The storm will help me, but if the rain increases, it will cost us the help of the griffins. They can't fly in anything much heavier than a drizzle.
They'll guard the ground and ferry the wounded,
Taryn says as he lowers his shoulder. I walk up his foreleg, rain splattering against his scales. Settling into the saddle, I buckle the strap across my thighs and check to be sure the quiver Marin gave me is securely fastened to the left side of the saddle, within easy reach. I don't want to risk my shoulder slipping out by strapping it to my back. Then I grab the conduit from my pocket and slip the new steel bracelet attached to the top of it over my wrist. Only then, when I'm certain I'm as prepared as I can be, when power flows through my veins with a heat that doesn't quite burn, do I look forward to the approaching enemy. My heartbeat stutters.
Gods, they're everywhere.
They're horde larger than any riot I've ever seen. Flying at multiple altitudes, most equal with our position. The sea of gray wings, straining necks, and gaping jaws devours the sunrise. We've grossly underestimated their numbers, and knowing there's another wave following this, my throat tightens as I glance down the line of my squad. There's no chance all of us are getting out of this alive, if any of us do. But we just have to hold out long enough for Brennan to mend the wardstone. If we can raise the wards, even if Jacinia doesn't find what we missed in Aracia, we can stun the wyvern long enough to kill them. Within a few breaths, the wyvern are close enough that I can make out which of them bears a rider. And then I reach 24 in the count. I stop for the sake of my own sanity. Terror slides up my spine, and I breathe deeply to force it back down. I'm no good to Taryn and Andarna, to anyone in my squad, if I give in to panic. And I'll be even worse, a liability if I don't keep fully in control. They'll be within range in only minutes. Maybe we should have ridden out, engaged them over the plains. I can't help but second-guess our plan as fear tightens my chest and speeds my heart rate.
There are too many of them. They could have flanked and surrounded us easily. Here, we know every canyon, every peak, and they cannot circumvent us,
Taryn answers.
They'll have to go through us. They're spreading out, Taryn says, his head swiveling. Their formation indicates they'll engage all our forces instead of targeting the Vale as we'd planned for.
My stomach plummets. We've allocated ourselves poorly.
Then we'll just have to be sure they never reach the Veil, won't we?
You'll only have a clear firing field for a matter of seconds,
Taryn reminds me. I know. Once the dragons engage, I'm just as likely to strike one of our own as I am a wyvern. This first strike counts for everything. I lift my hands and open the archive's door to a steady but manageable flow of power, savoring the quick sizzle along my skin that comes with the rush of energy.
Tell Imser I need Mom to move that cloud.
Yes, Taryn says, following my stream of thoughts to its conclusion before I even voice them. I let the conduit rest against my forearm and concentrate on the cloud above us, blinking the steady fall of rain from my eyes. The dragons beside us begin to shift their weight, their shoulders rolling in preparation to launch, but Taryn remains as still as the mountain we stand on. I spare a single glance over my shoulder for Andarna, but
where are you? The battle hasn't even started yet, and she's already left her position.
Hiding, like I promised.
She peeks out from a cluster of boulders.
Get ready,
Taryn orders as the clouds roll overhead at a supernatural speed, rushing toward the enemy. I focus on the Horde, without an outlet. Power builds within me, so hot I start to think I might breathe fire, and I let it gather, let it burn, let it threaten to consume me.
Violet, Zayden says.
Not yet, I answer. They'll be on us in seconds, but it has to be the right second. Sweat beads on my forehead.
Violet! My mother's storm overtakes the wyvern at the highest altitude, and I release the torrent of scalding power, aiming it skyward. Lightning cracks, jolting upward from the very ground of the ridge beneath ours in a blast of light so powerful, it stings my eyes as it strikes into the cloud.
I drop my arms as the bodies fall. Maybe this will be easier then. Never mind. The wyvern's tactics adjust within seconds, just like the riders who control them, and they fly under the cloud cover, swerving to dodge plummeting carcasses of their horde.
Holy shit!
Riddick shouts as wyvern crash into the four roads that lead to Bazgaeth, their bodies leaving deep furrows in the ground.
That won't work again.
So I slide the orb into my palm and summon power once more, drawing a faster, more concentrated stream as I target the nearest rider-bearing wyvern. Fire whips through me as I wield, missing that wyvern, but hitting another.
Shit! Focus on the next strike, not the last,
Taryn says.
Hold! Zayden shouts, keeping the field clear long enough for me to fire off another strike.
I lift my hands again, giving Taryn's power dominion over my bones and muscles, then draw another strike to wield.
Energy tears through me, and instead of flaring my palms, I concentrate on the intent of my fingers, just like Felix taught me, drawing them downward with a strike, directing it to the target as though I am the composer, and the lightning is my orchestra. It strikes true, the wyvern and rider falling in separate, lifeless descents. A handful of other wyvern fall from the sky with the death of that dark wielder. But there's no time for relief or joy at the accomplishment when there are countless more.
And they are here. My mother's squad launches to attack the first wave that intrudes upon their assigned sector.
Imser rips the throat from one wyvern before I lose sight of my mother and Mira as the horde passes through their sector and into the next.
Focus on your sector,
Taryn orders, and I rip my gaze from the area I'd last seen my family. Second by second, each of the squads around and below us launch to defend their sectors, and when the first menacing gray snout crosses our line, the end of Bazgaeth's structures and the beginning of the mountain, I brace.
Taryn rears back, then hurtles forward, beating his wings as he runs for the edge of the ridgeline, then flying off it. I yank my goggles over my eyes at the first sting of wind, then quickly shove them back up when rain makes the glass impossible to see through.
That one's ours,
Taryn tells me, flying directly for the fastest of the horde to enter our airspace. Quinn and Imogen bank left, heading toward other targets, and I see the rest of the squad in my peripherals, but I keep my focus on the wyvern Taryn has claimed as we fly toward a head-on collision. I grasp the conduit with one hand and lift my other as the space between us narrows to heartbeats. There's no need to reach for power. It's already there, both racing through my veins and charging the sky overhead. Energy sizzles at the ends of my fingertips, and just as I am to wield, the riderless wyvern drops his jaw and breathes out a stream of green fire. My heart lurches into my throat as the flames barrel toward us, and Tarn rolls left, narrowly missing the blaze. I throw my weight right to keep level as we pass the wyvern, keeping my focus on the creature, and then strike, drawing lightning from the cloud above. It hits the wyvern just above the tail. I didn't calculate my strike closely enough to account for speed, but the charge is more than enough to drop it. Below! Tarn growls, plunging into a dive. I blink furiously into the wind, noting three wyvern trying to get through at lower altitude. I can't strike here. I chance hitting someone above if I draw from the sky. They're too far to pull from myself, and if I miss from the ground up... Hold on. I throw both hands on the pommel and do just that, spotting the rider on the center wyvern as we drop hundreds of feet in seconds, power a constant buzz in my ears. Tarn strikes from above, flying directly into the wyvern on the left, and the impact whips my body forward as he sinks his teeth into the neck of the beast, dragging it down under us as we continue to fall. The wyvern screeches and I reach for one of my alloy-hilted blades, pivoting in my seat to watch Tarn's back and squinting into the rain as two massive shapes give chase. They're coming! A sickening crack sounds beneath us, and Tarn releases the wyvern, its neck broken as it falls the last 100 feet to the terrain below, somewhere behind the administration building. Banking right, Tarn begins to climb with hard beats of his wings, but there's no way we'll have the high ground in time. They're less than 50 feet away, and at the angle of the remaining two wyverns' descent, we'll have seconds before Tarn becomes a chew toy. I check beneath us. We're clear. Then grasp onto the conduit and take a steadying breath to calm the racing beat of my heart and the wild rush of adrenaline in my veins. Control. I need complete control. There's only time for one strike. I release power, drawing it upward with my blade, and lightning streaks into the sky, hitting the closest wyvern in the chest. Yes! I shout as the creature tumbles from the sky, but my joy is short-lived as its counterpart, complete with Dark Wielder, surges forward, opening its jaws to reveal rotten teeth and a green glow in its throat. Tarn! The warning is barely past my lips when a band of shadow winds around the wyvern's throat and jerks it backward like a rabid dog at the end of a leash, its teeth missing the tip of Tarn's wing by mere feet as we continue to fly upward. Sigail has claimed that one. We'll have to find our own, he tells me, climbing faster than ever into the driving rain. I use precious seconds to scan our surroundings. Every sector is overwhelmed, ours included. Only flashes of color appear through the swarm of gray as we soar toward the conflict above us. But the majority of the wyverns still hover in the distance, held back on the edge of the thunderstorm. They only sent the first wave, Tarn explains, probably to probe for weaknesses. Falling toward us, Itram has his claws raked into the belly of a wyvern. And I catch a glimpse of Riddick as they spiral past, Imogen and her orange dagger tail glaying on their heels. Riddick! I shout at Tarn. Focus on your mission or the plan falls apart. Trust the others to do theirs. He flies straight through the mayhem of gray, bursting into the airspace above it before he levels out. He's right, we have a job to do, but trusting my friends to do their part feels a lot like ignoring them, too. Rain soaks my scalp and runs off my leathers as I survey the battlefield beneath us, forcing my breath in through my nose and out through my mouth to lower my heart rate. This isn't the melee of Resin. This is a coordinated defense, and I need to focus so I can do my part. Fierge is locked in close combat with a green fire. A blast of blue fire erupts from its mouth. Make that blue fire wyvern, and my heart clenches when Ree narrowly misses the fire stream by leaping from Fierge's back to Kruth's. Quinn grabs hold of her forearm as the green scorpion tail stabs hard with her tail, and I rip my gaze away when I realize they have it under control and there's nothing I can do. But Sawyer is outmatched 50 feet below as Slee goes head to head with three wyvern, one of whom bears a rider. I grip the conduit, then flood my body with another wave of power and lift my hand. Don't miss, Tarn warns. I focus on the wyvern farthest from Slee just in case, then wield, drawing the power to my target with full focus and intention. Energy rips through me and lightning strikes from the cloud above, white hot and fatal to the wyvern below. The rider looks up and locks eyes with me for a heartbeat before the pair dives, falling out of the battle. My stomach sours. There's only one reason to go to ground. To feed.
Zayden! On it, he assures me. And when Atrum and Glane arrive to help Sawyer and Sleeg, I turn my attention to the other sectors.
Three, Terran notes, using the hands of the clock like we'd discussed.
And I look right, where Wyvern overrun a squad in third wing. The body of a dragon lies beneath them on the mountainside, but I look away before I take note of who they've lost.
If I focus on tomorrow's death roll, I'll be on it.
Hold as steady as you can. I throw open the floodgates of his power as he banks right, flying toward their sector but not into it, and I wield, heat prickling my skin as I take down one wyvern. Then I aim again for another and another. Again and again I wield in targeted, precise strikes for the sectors around us, hitting two-thirds of my targets but never striking a dragon, which I count as the ultimate win. Rain sizzles as it hits my skin, but I don't dare remove my flight jacket from where my daggers are strapped to it. So I put the heat, the pain, into my mental box and slam the lid shut on it, forcing my mind to ignore the agonizing burn and wield again. 12! I face forward and find the target, missing twice before I hit it. There are no Venon left in our sector, but my hand trembles on the conduit as Terran locates another wyvern, another threat, and I pull lightning from the sky so quickly that I no longer feel like I direct the storm. I am the storm.
You tire, Terran warns. Fuck exhaustion.
People are dying. A quick glance over the sunrise-lit battlefield reveals more and more spots of color among the gray carcasses littered on the ground. But I only stop quickly enough to note my squad is still fighting, handling each wyvern that crosses into our sector with teamwork and efficiency.
9! Terran rumbles, but doesn't argue with me as he rolls left, keeping us above the battle.
As I wield for the next squad, taking only the targets I'm certain of hitting without endangering our own riders. Beneath me, shadows streak into our sectors as Zayden does the same.
God, the heat is going to cook me alive. Even the wind and rain aren't enough to cool the inferno growing inside my chest.
I slip the conduit's bracelet from my wrist, then wedge it between my thighs long enough to strip my flight jacket off and slide it under the strap of my saddle, leaving me 6 daggers short. But they're in easy reach, and the other 2 are the only ones that matter any...
12! Terran shouts, and I whip my head toward the plains to see another wave of wyverns soaring over my mother's sector, dangerously close to the clouds, but not in them, leaving me unable to strike, given who's under them.
My heart stutters as they pass my mother without stopping, then barrel through the next without engaging. Flying on top of the battle has given me the needed vantage point to wield, but it's also made us an undeniable target, and they're coming for us. I shove my hand through the strap of the bracelet so I don't lose the conduit.
We should lead them away.
We will follow the plan. Terran dives, and my weight lifts against the straps of the saddle as we plunge toward my squad. The second squad dragons turn their heads toward the oncoming threat, all of us rising or falling into formation.
Prepare!
There are 3 Venon on this assassination mission, their blue tunics standing out in stark contrast to the gray, bleary-eyed wyvern they ride.
We've got 10 seconds, maybe.
1. Riddick waves his hands at my right, holding a dagger that's been snapped in 2.
Shit, if his only remaining blade is broken.
I blink when the pieces disappear. He wasn't waving at me.
2. Snapping my head to the left, I find the pieces already in Rhiannon's hands as Fierge dives to where Sleeg hovers beneath.
3. Fierge flies alongside Sleeg and Rhiannon tosses the pieces.
4. To Sawyer's credit, he catches them.
5. Sigale rises to take Fierge's place, and I lock eyes with Zayden only long enough to see that he's unharmed. Blood drips from Sigale's mouth and runs in rain-driven rivulets down the side of Zayden's face, but I instinctively know it's not his and focus on the imminent threat.
6. Breathe. I have to breathe through the firestorm in my chest, or I'll burn out. It's not that I don't recognize the signs, the trembling, the heat, the fatigue. It's just that they don't matter. Everyone I love is on this field.
7. They're almost on us. And I look down at the ward chamber, where Marb stands watch with a blue club tail I don't recognize and a vague shape I hope is Andarna. And when a flash of sunlight reflects on the dagger in Sawyer's hand, it disappears again.
Fierge already on the move.
8.
Dajalair is frustrated by the unflyable conditions,
Terran relays as Fierge rises alongside Atrum.
9. Tell them they're more efficient guarding the courtyard and incoming wounded than struggling with waterlogged wings, I note. They'd be a liability up here right now, not an asset. The dagger changes hands and Riddick is once again armed. I grin at how seamlessly we work as a team, then face the coming tidal wave. 10.
You're beginning to think,
Tarn starts. Like Brennan, I suggest, as the Wyvern enter our airspace.
Like Tarn,
Sigale answers, surging toward the enemy, her neck outstretched as shadows streak from under her, grasping a Wyvern at the jugular and dragging it with them as Sigale drops away from formation. Tarn lunges toward another, throwing me back into the saddle as he takes the Wyvern head-on. I jolt forward upon impact, blood spraying as Tarn's jaw locks on the throat of the Wyvern. Its screech rattles my brain as their claws grapple between them, forcing us into a vertical position that's nearly impossible to maintain, even with Tarn's wings beating this hard. A flash of blue is all the warning I need to palm an alloy-hilted dagger and drop the conduit against my forearm to reach for my buckle, preparing to release it. I've seen this play out before. I know this role, and this time I'm not coming away with a stab wound. Can you level out? My heart jolts as the Dark Wielder jumps from the Wyvern's neck to Tarn's, ignoring the menacing roar that vibrates Tarn's scales as he holds the Wyvern in a death grip.
Stay in your saddle, he demands but rolls us horizontal.
The Venon grabs a horn and holds on, his eerie red-rimmed eyes never leaving mine during the maneuver, or the seconds after when we fall into a rapid descent, the Wyvern's weight pulling us downward. No spider-webbed veins, he's just an asim, and I can handle him.
You're the one he wants,
the Dark Wielder announces, shoving his wet, stringy blonde hair out of his eyes and striding down Tarn's neck as I yank at the belt with my left hand, but the buckle doesn't give. He looks so young, but so did Jack. Tarn releases the Wyvern, his shoulders bunching to push off the dying creature, but it snaps at his neck, and Tarn retaliates with a stronger bite, bleeding the life out of it as we fall and fall and fall. Your sage? I wrench on the leather, but the belt is stuck, and so am I. Fuck. I flip the dagger to its tip, catching the water-slick blade between my thumb and forefinger, and flick my wrist, firing the dagger toward him when he reaches the spikes between Tarn's shoulders. He catches the blade, and pure panic floods my bloodstream as I pull my spare.
You'll meet them all soon enough, he promises, raising my own blade as he marches toward me.
A green blur comes at us from the right, and we both look as Rhiannon jumps from Fierge to Tarn, landing in front of my saddle in a crouch. An excerpt from Chapter 3, The Tactical Guide to Defeating Dragons by Colonel Elijah Jobin. The easiest way to defeat a dragon is to kill its rider. Though the creature will most likely survive the blow, it will be stunned long enough to be felled. Chapter 62.
No. This is too familiar. Losing Liam was... I can't lose Rhi, I just can't.
She surges forward as the Wyvern screams, our rate of descent so fast that blood appears to fall upward. I yank on my belt again, but the leather is swollen with rain, wedged tight. And I watch, my heart launching into my throat as she engages the Dark Wielder in a series of moves that would have had me on the mat. He knocks her blade loose with a backhand to her wrist, and it flies from her hand as he kicks her. She skids backward along Tarn's rain-slick scales, and I reach for her, wrapping my left arm around her waist to steady her and pressing my dagger into her palm with my right hand. She looks over her shoulder and nods at me, gaining her feet when he's almost on us. I force myself to look away as their blades clash and mountains rise, alerting me to how low our altitude is as I unstrap the crossbow at my thigh, then quickly open the quiver strapped at my left and slip the arrow into the flight groove. At this range, the wind and rain shouldn't matter. I need you to roll this fucker off you in 3, I start. Re! I shout out loud, taking aim. 2! She glances back, then throws her body flat between Tarn's shoulders, and I reach forward, grasping her ankle and pulling the lever without hesitation. 1! The arrow hits true, striking the Venon in the sternum as Tarn banks hard right. The Dark Wielder falls, but the sound of an explosion comes from behind us as I grip Re's ankle, ignoring the screaming protest of my shoulder as the wrap fights to keep the joint
isn't in place. Rhee holds fast to Tarn's spikes, and he levels to horizontal quickly, pumping his wings to climb as she works backward toward me, then turns, wrapping her arms around me in a tight hug. I hold on to her, still clutching the crossbow, and breathe deeply as Fierge mirrors Tarn's wingbeats just beneath us, keeping pace. She's all right. They're both all right. This isn't Resin, and I didn't just lose my best friend.
You reckless, irresponsible, I yell. You're welcome, she shouts, rain streaming down her face when she pulls away and hands back my blade. Fix your saddle. I'll retrieve the dagger from the ground, she stands, then gives me a flash of a smile before jumping from Tarn's shoulder. I track her fall, breathing a sigh of relief when she lands effortlessly on Fierge. My saddle is stuck, I tell Tarn as we climb back to the battle. Good, maybe you'll stay in it. Sunlight glints off Quinn's labrys as she swings the double-sided battle axe from Kruth's back into the shoulder joint of a wyvern, trying its best to sink its teeth into Glane. Melgrin is 10 minutes out, but only two of his aides could keep up, and there's a general consensus that most of the dark wielders are holding back for a second wave. Tarn passes Kruth, and I look up into a sea of gray and barely suppress the urge to vomit. There have to be at least 6 riderless wyvern up there. How long can we keep this up? Pivoting in my saddle, I note Zayden beneath us on Sigil, dragging wyvern by the throat into the side of the mountain, one by one, at speed, as they dive toward them. Sigil's outnumbered. If she wants help, she'll ask for... A pain-filled roar joins the cacophony above, and my chest tightens. And Darna, I reach out, my gaze sweeping the blurred mountainside as we fly upward.
I'm quite annoyingly safe and hidden, she responds.
Atrum! Tarn bellows and my stomach sinks.
Riddick.
Tarn sweeps right, avoiding the plummeting body of a wyvern. But there's another above us with its teeth locked onto Atrum's hindquarters, and 3 more closing in for the kill. Sawyer and Sleeg fly from the opposite side of our sector, tracking to intercept at the same time, but everyone else is beneath us. I sheathe my dagger at my hip, then load the crossbow and strap that at my thigh as we surge upward. Tarn's roar shakes his entire body as we approach, and I hold on to the pommel, bracing for the jarring collision, but he flies past as Sawyer and Sleeg reach the fray, then swings his massive tail into the trio of approaching wyvern. I pivot as much as the saddle will let me at the crunching sound of bone shattering. A wyvern falls from the fight, half its head bashed in. 1 down, 3 to go. Tarn pulls the steepest turn I've ever experienced on his back, and my vision dims at the edge as he brings us nearly vertical before tipping his wing left and falling into a dive. I blink furiously into the wind and rain as we fly to Atrum and Riddick's aid. Riddick's doing all he can from Atrum's back to dislodge the wyvern, stabbing his sword into its snout, but the damn thing won't let go. Sleeg gets there first, slashing out at the wyvern with his sword tail and cutting into a foreleg. When it doesn't let go, he pivots to close his jaw over its neck. But unlike Tarn, he isn't strong enough to snap a neck with a bite and loses precious seconds, leaving himself exposed to the remaining pair of wyvern. We're not going to make it in time. The pair changes course, veering from Atrum at the last second and aiming for Sleeg. We're almost there, but everything happens so fucking fast. It's as if the rest of the world slows down. In 1 heartbeat, the closest wyvern opens its jaws. In the second, it blasts green fire across Sleeg and Sawyer, dives backward out of the seat, narrowly avoiding being burned to death and rolling down Sleeg's spine with a smoking boot. In the third, it completes its assault, snapping at Sleeg's exposed side. Sawyer kicks at the gaping jaws to save his dragon from the bite, but in the next, he takes it himself, his leg disappearing between the wyvern's massive teeth. Sawyer! Riddick yells.
Sawyer's scream rips into my soul, and I nearly echo it when the wyvern's jaw locks with an audible click as Tarn slows his descent directly overhead, only a dozen feet above Atrum, as the remaining wyvern ducks under the fight. Tarn's weight shifts, and I know he's chosen an angle of attack and is about to dive, but in this position, there's only time to save Sawyer or Sleeg, not both. Sawyer bellows in pain as the wyvern half drags him off Sleeg, wrenching away its ugly gray head before snapping again.
My stomach twists and my breath threatens to seize. Fuck, there's nothing left below Sawyer's knee. He's losing blood and his grip. No, I am not going to stand by and watch another one of my friends die. I refuse. Grasping the dagger in my left hand and the crossbow in my right, I slice through the leather strap of my belt as Taren dips his right wing, giving me the perfect angle for one single second. Forgive me. Don't you dare. Kill the other one quickly for both our sakes. I'm already moving, sheathing my dagger and lunging from the saddle, gaining one, two, three running steps before I leap. And Narna, Zayden, my sister, Brennan, they all flash through my mind as my arms swing through the fall, finding only air, but it's my mother's face I see in my mind when I land on Atrum's back, the soles of my boots finding purchase at the edge of one of his spine scales. Silver One! How's that for a running landing? Holy shit, I made it! Riddick must think the same because he stares at me in pure shock for a good second, before he yanks his sword free of the wyvern's nose, then moves to plunge it again as I start running toward him. I can't get the fucking thing off him! My heart pounds as hard as my feet as Taren completes the dive to my right, a patch of black filling my peripheral vision. Ignoring the self-preservation instinct that tells me this is a bad idea, I race to Riddick and shove the crossbow into his hands. Fire it once I'm on Sleek and get back in your seat! Once you're what? I don't pause to answer the question, too busy running onto the nose of the goddamn wyvern that's currently having part of its throat ripped out by Sleeg. I run up the slope between the shrieking wyvern's eyes as it sinks its teeth deeper into Atrum, then onto the flat of its head between its horns as Sleeg tears his jaw away. I'm going to throttle you myself once, Taren growls, and I hear the distinct sound of bone crunching in the distance. I get you on the ground! I nearly roll my ankle on a spike halfway down the wyvern's gyrating neck and catch myself as Sleeg swings his head back to the wyvern attacking his rider. But Sawyer's grip along his spine scales is too tenuous for Sleeg to maneuver quickly. The dragon can't defend his rider without losing him. He lets loose a skull-shaking roar as the wyvern takes another snap at Sawyer, swinging his tail with no effect.
Hurry, Vi! Riddick yells.
Sleeg! I shout, breaking the cardinal rule of all riders. Let me help him! The red swivels its head toward me, pinning me with furious golden eyes, and I nod, praying to Dune he understands that he holds still, and then leap from the wyvern's neck, my feet kicking for distance. I land just above Sleeg's eyes and wrap my left arm around one of his horns, using it to both stop my momentum and hold my balance as his head swings toward the wyvern attacking Sawyer, snapping at the wyvern and coming up short. Now, Riddick! Using Sleeg's horn for leverage, I hurtle down his neck as an explosion sounds behind me, heat flaring along my back. Sawyer scoots himself across Sleeg's spine, and I run faster, passing the seat. If he falls to that side, there's nothing Taren can do. We're too close to the ridgeline below.
Where are you?
I ask Taren as Sawyer's eyes meet mine in a double take. I ignore the snaps and snarls above me and keep moving.
Where I'm supposed to be, unlike you!
He bites out, just as his gargantuan frame turns in the sky ahead of me, dropping the lifeless body of the fourth wyvern from his jaws.
Good! Now do me a favor!
I charge past Sleeg's wings and alongside the enormous, gnashing teeth of the wyvern, poised to devour Sawyer.
Which would be? Taren asks, already flying toward us.
Violet? Sawyer's eyes widen with shock as blood pumps out of his leg in sickening rhythmic spurts. He needs a healer, now! I hit my knees, sliding the last few feet and slamming into Sawyer, knocking him farther down Sleeg's spine toward the dragon's hindquarters. Wrapping my arms around Sawyer, I clasp my hands behind his back.
Hold on!
I shout as we slide over countless red scales, seconds away from the edge. Sleeg banks away from the ridgeline, giving us a few hundred much-needed feet of altitude for the inevitable fall, and tips us over.
Silver One!
Sawyer's arms close around me as we tumble off Sleeg's back and fall into the open air.
Catch me!
Wind tears at my hair, my face, my leathers, but I hold onto Sawyer as we drop in total free fall. I can save him. He doesn't have to die today. He won't! One. Two, three, four. I count my heartbeats as we clear the ridgeline.
What are you doing?
Zayden roars, and there's a faint, familiar brush of velvet at the base of my neck, as if Zayden's power has been extended to its limits. Our fall slows, but not by much, as a dark wing blocks out the sky.
What the hell does it look like? I'm...
The breath is knocked from my lungs as an iron vice closes around us, halting our fall with a whipping change of momentum. Tern.
What part of stay in your saddle did you not understand?
Tern bellows, holding us in the precarious grip of his claw and banking left toward Basgaeth.
You couldn't be in two places at once, I argue, fighting to draw breath as Sawyer goes limp above me, his chin falling against my shoulder.
You had to kill the fourth wyvern, and Sleeg wouldn't defend himself if it meant losing Sawyer, so I took Sawyer.
And you just hoped I'd catch you?
He flares his wings, slowing our speed to a glide.
As if you wouldn't!
Air flows into my lungs in a trickle, then a stream. He scoffs, then changes the subject with,
Your brother has mended the stone into one piece, but does not feel hopeful.
My heart rises just to fall. Well, that's
great.
Why, can it not be imbued?
Marb is not keen on details.
Tern lands on three claws in the small field between the back of the school and the cliff, gently opening the one that holds us.
What the fuck does that mean? Icy slush greets me as rain continues to fall, and I push Sawyer to his back and roll to my knees, putting my fingers to the pulse of his pale, freckled neck. Somebody help us! I scream, my voice echoing off the stone walls of the administration building. The sluggish beat of his pulse jolts my own. He's losing too much blood too quickly, and there's no help in sight, though it's obvious we're not the first wounded to have landed here.
I will call for aid, Tern replies.
You can't have him, I tell Malik, shifting to kneel in the scarlet snow. You took Liam. You may not have Sawyer.
Sawyer, I wrench the buckle on the belted sheath around my left thigh, and mercifully, it gives. Knives and all, I wrap it over the wrecked leather beneath Sawyer's knee. Inches above raggedly torn flesh, thread the leather through the buckle and pull as hard as I can, crying out when pain sings through my left shoulder. You have to wake up. Open your eyes. The bitter taste of fear floods my mouth as I force the metal prong through a smooth section of leather by sheer will. Please, I beg him, my voice breaking as my fingers search for his pulse at his wrist, then his neck, leaving crimson fingerprints on his bloodless skin. Please, Sawyer, please. We said we'd all live until graduation, remember?
Aid comes, Tern announces.
I remember, Sawyer whispers, his eyes fluttering open. Oh, thank the gods! I smile down at him, my lower lip trembling uncontrollably. Hold on! Violet! Marin calls from across the field, and I look up to see her on Daja's back, the griffin sprinting forward through the rain, covering the distance quickly with Cat and Bragan on foot a bit behind.
Tern's head snaps upward toward the battlefield.
Sigale!
Go!
If she's in danger, so is Zayden, and given the giant tendrils of shadow emanating from within a wall of gray on the edge of our sector. Tern crouches, then springs upward, launching with heavy beats of his wings against the morning sky as Daja reaches us, dragging a litter behind her.
What happened?
Marin slides from Daja's back, her tan leather streaked with blood.
Wyvern took his leg.
I glance between them as Bragan and Cat arrive. Are you all right?
It's not ours, Bragan says, crouching on the other side of Sawyer. You're going to be all right, he assures him. Just need to get you to the healers.
He slides his arms under Sawyer, then lifts and carries him to Daja.
The healers, because mending isn't an option, not without his leg.
We've been ferrying the wounded, Marin says over her shoulder, rushing back to Daja as Cat helps Bragan lower Sawyer to the litter.
Thank you. I sit back on my heels and look to the sky, letting the strength of my bond with Zayden assure me that he's well instead of possibly distracting him by asking.
Don't thank us, Marin says, mounting quickly and settling between Daja's shoulders, before taking off for the healer's quadrant, Bragan following after her.
You look like shit.
Cat crouches in front of me, her braid as sodden as mine, and she looks me over.
I heard what you did up there.
Well, Kira saw, and she told me.
That took guts.
You would have done the same. Exhaustion sweeps in, my shoulders drooping as adrenaline fades.
I would have run faster.
She slips one of her alloy-hilted daggers free and hands it to me.
Looks like you're missing one.
I have another.
Thank you.
I take it like the peace offering it is.
I'll look after Sawyer, she promises as she stands. And don't you dare thank me for that.
She calls back over her shoulder, walking toward the southwest tower without another word. The conduit falls along my forearm as I wipe the rain from my eyes. I'd completely forgotten the damn thing was even there. Glancing left, then right, I note the scattered wyvern bodies and one green club tail that makes my heart stumble.
Tiny is alive,
Taryn promises, already flying back to me.
They are holding the last wave back, and your mother. Behind you!
I stumble to my feet and whip around to face the cliff, and the Venon who stands about 20 feet away, watching me with a curious look on a heart-shaped face that had at some point been undeniably beautiful. My stomach twists, and my grip tightens around the dagger Kat left me.
Kat, I don't want to draw attention to the retreating flyer if the Venon doesn't already see her.
There's no point running, the Dark Wielder says, walking forward, slowly, as if I'm no more of a threat than a butterfly. We both know I'll drain the very ground underneath you. And then this all will have been for nothing.
She throws her arms out, gesturing to the mayhem around us.
Sorengale! Kat yells, and I hear the sloshing sound of her running toward me. Run, Kat! I shout, glancing up at Taryn and spotting him mid-dive about a minute out.
But the footsteps don't slow. The Dark Wielder's eyes flare as she spots Kat, and she drops to a knee, splaying her hand out over the icy ground.
Stop! I yell, my heart lurching into my throat and lodging there. This is so much worse than my nightmare. Even if I could run, there's no telling what she'd do to Kat. Flicking my wrist, I grasp the conduit in my left hand and lift my right, dagger and all, throwing open the doors to Taryn's power I'd never fully closed.
Slush melts at my feet and steam lifts from my skin as Kat reaches my side.
You have to get out of here.
Shut up.
She pulls a dagger from her thigh sheath.
Oh, you are a powerful one, aren't you?
The Dark Wielder cocks her head to the side, a slow, insidious smile curving her mouth as she rises, studying me.
The Lightning Wielder.
Thunder booms in the cloud above us as energy gathers in my veins, hot and crackling.
I don't have to run. I can wield.
Her, I don't care about. She glances at Kat. But you, I'm under orders not to kill. So let's not make this difficult.
Me? What the hell?
She takes a step forward and I release a strike, hitting the ground right in front of her, stopping her in her tracks.
You'll be so much fun for him to wield.
The nightmare comes back full force, the sage's words tumbling over me, just enough to make my hand tremble. A wild look comes over her narrow-set eyes.
And I will be his favorite for delivering you. I will be more than just an Asim soon.
Her words flow faster and faster.
I will be given the veil when this is over.
Delivering me?
You can kill her at any time now,
Kat reminds me, her gaze locked on the Dark Wielder.
I want to know what the hell she means about delivering me, I murmur under my breath.
You will turn for something much more dangerous.
Wasn't that what he said in the nightmare?
It will be me. Me!
The Venon shoves her shaking hand into her scraggly red hair.
Kat's doing this, heightening the woman's greed, spinning her out on her own emotions.
I have to admit, it's a pretty badass ability when she's not using it on me.
Enough, Wynn.
A Dark Wielder in leathers the same color as the pulsing veins beside his eyes appears from the left, walking around the body of the fallen green and throwing out his hand. Kat flies backward with a shout, slamming into the ground behind me.
Shit, no more time for curiosity.
I wield, heat erupting from every inch of my skin as I draw the strike from the cloud above, hitting Wynn instantly. She falls where she stood, her eyes open and vague, smoke rising from her corpse.
Fascinating.
The new one strides for me, closing his fist. The conduit flares with intolerable heat. I drop it, watching in horror as it disintegrates, leaving nothing at the end of the bracelet. He flips his hand, palm upward, and I'm lifted off my feet, suspended in midair, completely immobilized, just like the dream. But that isn't the sage.
My throat closes. I can't lift a hand to wield or even yell for Kat to run while she can.
This isn't a dream. There's no waking up from this.
Stay calm,
Taryn orders, nearly on us, but not close enough.
I'm on my way, Zayden shouts as the